No, but he had written some stuff that was basically important, you know, different chapters and verses and stuff in the Quran that he was quoting. No, but you can just go to your Quran and read that. All those different verses.
I'll give you an example. I had a debate on Monday about sin, original sin. And I said to a Christian, there's no such thing as original sin in the Bible. Right? He quoted from me Genesis 8 and Genesis 6 to prove there was original sin in the Bible. Right? I then went to a Jewish source which refuted original sin in the Bible using exactly the same verses. Right? So he's claiming original sin is there using these verses. He's claiming it's not there using the same verses. Right. So it's interpretation. There's nothing for me in the Quran. It says, kill the unbelievers wherever you find them. Fight those who fight you and turn them up from where they turned you and kill the unbelievers wherever you find them. But if they stop, then you stop. For Allah has got the transgressor. Okay, so what? What's the point?
Killing unbelievers and stuff. So
fight those who fight you, turn them out from where they turn you out, and kill the unbeliever wherever you find them. But and it says slay rather than kill, and slay in the sense of slay as in fight, yeah? But if they stop, then you stop, but Allah loves not the transgression. So basically, it's a permission to return back to your land and take back what was taken from you. So what you can't do is take the historical context away from the Quran either. Because a lot of the verses in the Quran were revealed at certain times for certain situations. And this was at a prime time where the Muslims had been persecuted for 13 years, and now they're allowed to fight back. Okay? That's it. Now, we have scholars who will look at the whole of the Quran with regards verses of fighting unbelievers, and we'll have the same scholars look at all of the hadith and narrations of the Prophet and the actions of the Prophet with regards to killing the unbelievers, and from that we will deduce what the meaning is.
When was that written?
Nowhere in Islam can you kill an innocent civilian. Nowhere. An unbeliever, when it's talking about unbeliever, in the Quran it uses the word polytheist, yeah? Because it's talking about the pagan Meccans. Okay? It's not carte blanche, kill anyone who doesn't believe what you believe. Because in the Quran you have the verse, La ikraha fid din. There's no compulsion in religion. So if there's no compulsion in religion, I can't kill you because you don't believe what I believe. Okay, Allah says in the Quran to Muhammad, you are not a dictator over them, merely a warner. Alright, so in the Quran there's no idea that you can force people to convert. Okay? Now, I can't then punish you for not being a Muslim. You understand?
In Islam, can I not be a Muslim anymore? Is that punishable?
La ikraha fid din. There's no compulsion in matters of religion. La ikraha fid din. Yeah? No compulsion, no. You want to leave Islam? Knock yourself out. But you have to understand in certain countries, they have laws against being a traitor. So there's a difference between not wanting to pray anymore and attacking the state. That's different. So if you're in an Islamic state, which is run by Islam Sharia, and you leave Islam and you start going against the government and this and that, then the governments have laws in place to deal with traitors how they do. In English, to shoot them.
It would be dependent then on which country you're
in. No. It depends on Sharia law, isn't it? Whether laws are implemented.
Is it all or nothing? Actually, or some countries have little less Sharia law?
No, there's no such country today that has Sharia law completely. The West will not allow it. Because if Sharia was implemented completely, it would be the model society for every society in the world.
What do they do when Muslims hypocritical and hypocrites, the Muslim hypocrites. In other words, the ones that do not believe in jihad.
It's all English.
Again, what you're doing, you see, you're doing something that's going to get you into trouble. First thing, you're quoting from anti-Islamic sites. Second thing, you're trying to interpret the Quran yourself.
We've got
but those verses are specific to the hypocrites who pretended to be Muslims at the time, who were really agents of the enemy.
So if a Muslim today, how do you define a hypocrite Muslim, or don't they exist today?
A munafiq is somebody who claims to be a Muslim and acts against Islam.
Your Bible says that.
So I'm a Muslim and I'm drinking a can of beer. It's a hypocrite, mate. You're a hypocrite, mate. Telling, cover your woman up, cover your woman up. My woman's not covered. I mean, I don't need to explain to you what the word hypocrite means, is it?
No, but I didn't know hypocrite. You said that was kind of back in the old days? Back in the earlier time? If you're a Muslim hypocrite, do they exist today, or is that just back?
The hypocrite Muslim will be in the lowest hellfire. Below you. Below you. You'll be higher than them. They'll be lower than you. And they've said La ilaha illallah. They've become Muslim. But what they've done, they've embraced Islam. Then they've acted in a way that's made Islam look ugly. They've actually done worse than what you've done. Yeah, because they're saying I'm a Muslim, and they're doing all the things that will drive the people away from Islam. Where Islam is the cure for society. You know, the people will recognize that one day. I recognized it 12, 13 years ago, and alhamdulillah, I've never been happier.
We knew it.
I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I don't gamble, this, that. My family the same. You get me?
But
be careful of just quoting the Quran and trying to interpret it yourself. You need to look at what the Quran says about that subject throughout it.
One example.
We do, because it will talk about it everywhere. And then you have to see what the prophet has said about that verse and about the other verses. And only then can you derive the law or what should be done from that verse. That's why we have scholars who dedicated their lives to doing this job. So we don't have to do it. So we know what did the scholar say on this? We know his where he's come from. He's got his information from.
I don't want to dwell on him just because he did the killing. But the guy who did the killing in Rigby, then how would you put him as, is he a bad Muslim? In other words, is he one that's
I'll say it to you again. The guy who killed Lee Rigby in Woolwich is no different to me than a Muslim in a casino when it comes to measuring against Islam. If you're a Muslim, you follow the teachings of Islam. For me, killing Lee Rigby in the street is not from Islam. Drinking in a casino is not from Islam. So for me, there's no difference. The same thing. Islam has nothing to do with either. Some people believe they can fly, they can't.
No, I know, but he believed it when he wrote that stuff that he was
Listen,
helping.
I don't know what you've seen. If you see why he did what he did, he said, this is what's happening. He told it on the camera. He said, because my Muslim brothers are suffering this and that, he couldn't take it no more.
I just saw the thing that was part of
it. He thought that he was fighting a soldier who was fighting his Muslim brothers and sisters there. That's none of our business. For me, not from Islam. Why? Even Anjum Chowdhury said it. He said, in Islam, as a British citizen, I cannot go to even Afghanistan and fight British soldiers. As a British citizen. Because I have a covenant of security. Anjum Chowdhury said this. So if I can't go to Afghanistan to fight British soldiers, I certainly can't help civilian soldiers on the streets here. You get me? And now, Anjum Chowdhury said that. Now, I've never heard anyone repeat that. For him to say that on the news, Anjum Chowdhury is supposed to call him a jihad and all this nonsense, yeah? And yet he says that.
Jesus born that time, Jesus went
so, in Islam, we cannot go and kill whom we like.
I went through those verses and stuff.
You're not a scholar. So you're not qualified to understand that.
I just read that, because that's out there. And it's pretty pointed. And he points out some really... some verses that are...
The golden calf from
what? Fight those who fight you. Is that not blatant? How can you misinterpret fight those who fight you?
Which one? I don't know which one. I just went through it. So I guess I would just recommend people just to read those. It's kind of eye-opening. It makes you understand a little bit of what was in his mind.
He was so fed up of the injustice in the world. He's so fed up. Okay. I'll give you an example. He's looking in Libya. Gaddafi. Threatened to attack Benghazi. And he was taken out because he was threatening to kill civilians. Assad is massacring them.
Where are you
taking him out?
You twist the word.
Well, there's hypocrisy. It's highest. Yeah? You cry when a little girl in Portugal gets kidnapped. Yeah? Little girls destroyed by a drone in Pakistan. You don't care. You care about Malala Taylor. Malala, the one who got shot, yeah? Oh, Jesus. Listen, I'm explaining hypocrisy. Malala, she gets shot in the head apparently by the Taliban for women's education. And she wins World Peace Prizes and she's here and she's there. And what about the little girl who was destroyed by a drone? Do we know her name? Do you think if Malala was hit by a drone, you would know her name? Honestly?
I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Right. So what you got to understand, this guy snapped. He couldn't take it no more. How can this... What's going on in the Muslim lands and no one bats an eyelid? And yet this soldier here is doing this. That's the only reason he did. He snapped. He couldn't take it no more.
Anyway, nice talk.
And yourself, my friend. Take care. But listen, when you want to know about Islam, see what the Islamic scholars say about that verse. That's a proper source of information. That's intellectual. Yeah. If I want to know about Christianity, I'll look what Christians say. Like, I just showed him how his own Christian scholars tell you that those verses are not in the Bible. His own Christian scholars. Okay. If I want to know about Islam, I'll go to Islamic scholars. I'll go to Christian scholars. So if you want to understand the Quran, go to Muslims, not Christians. Yeah, because they've got an agenda.
Different things and read it too.
Translations here and there.
Exactly, no different from the other translations.
No, but with the Bible, it's different. The verse is missing.
No.
The Bible's a different story. There's actually verses missing. In the Bible, but majority knew.
Jesus, according to you,
knew.
Which
Bible do you mean? You don't read the King James, though?
Not the King James.
Right, why don't you read the King James?
It's a little hard to read.
It's nothing to do with the King James.
It's good, but it's not as easy.
Do you have a Bible with you?
No, I don't.
All right. In your Bible, the NIV, there's no Acts 8:37. For example, it's not there. Why not? Because it's not found in the earliest manuscripts of Acts. Now, what's the difference? The difference between that verse being there or not is, are children to be baptized as infants, or do you need to believe to be baptized? And there's a big war raging in Christianity about this. What verse?
The Quran isn't the truth.
So, if you can get the King James Version and the NIV, there'll be more verses in the King James Version than the NIV.
Go home, watch out, man. Let's clean up.
If you look at it from a super sense, does the King James Version have anything that's been moved in other ones, or does the King James Version have all the verses?
The problem with the King James Version is this. It was used in manuscripts from 500 AD.
Could you go into the King James Version and find verses there that don't exist in the King James that exist in other ones?
No.
So the King James Version would be what we call a super sense. In other words, it would have everything.
So, if you like, the King James Version preserves the word as man as the word of God, according to your NIV scholars. And it's not. And the story of the adulterous woman and he without sin cast the first stone isn't in any of your manuscripts. So where did that come from? Because you have the Codex Sinaiticus, isn't it? The Codex Sinaiticus, which is your oldest complete gospels.
I don't know.
You do. There's a program on, go on iPlayer, yeah, called Bible Hunters, and you'll see this. Okay. So in the Codex Sinaiticus, there's no story of the adulterous woman, he without sin cast the first stone. The Gospel of Mark finishes at verse 16, doesn't continue. Acts 8:37 isn't there. And all these have been added later. So what we've got to ask ourselves, if you read the King James Bible, then that means these verses have been added by men and preserved as the word of God. If you read the NIV Bible, then these verses have been removed. Yeah? So you have to ask yourself a question, can the word of God be this? corrupted? Is it the word of God? And then the worst problem you have, even what I was explaining to Sid here, none of your gospel writers were disciples.
Why did he die?
None of the gospel writers were even disciples. They may have shared the name, but they weren't the disciples, according to Bible scholars.
Yeah, but the Quran too, that wasn't necessarily written straight away.
The Quran has nothing to do with the Bible.
No, I understand, but the Quran...
No, but the Quran has nothing to do with the Bible.
But it's the basic for Islam.
No, but it's nothing to do with the Bible.
No, but it's
you can't defend the Bible by pointing at Islam. You can't, it's impossible.
I'm not saying that.
Right, so you have to ask yourself this question. If Matthew, Mark, Luke and John were not eyewitnesses of Jesus, and if 1 Peter, 2 Peter was not written by Peter the disciple, and if Paul never witnessed Jesus, and if James wasn't written by a disciple, how do we know anything? What Jesus said or done. It's all second-hand information. You've got no historical records outside of the Gospels that says Jesus raised from the dead. No historian says that.
I read something just recently that about that.
No non-Christian source will say Jesus raised from the dead.
It was either Greek or Roman guy.
No.
It was either Greek or Roman guy.
If a Greek or Roman guy says Jesus raised from the dead, that same Greek or Roman guy wouldn't say he was crucified and died on the cross. Because if he did said that and he said that, then he'd be a Christian.
I read something.
Yeah. Be careful what you read. Because I've seen the way you can read things and misinterpret them.
Well, I know. Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
But I still want you to say, I know you can say a lot of those other verses are out of context with those other writings, but there's a lot of stuff in there. Like, for example, love and stuff really isn't in Islam. There's no place about talking about
have
love.
Have you read the Quran?
Have I?
Yeah.
I've read some of it.
No, have you read it?
No, I haven't. But I got a question. Is any Muslim read 100% of the Quran?
Sorry?
Is any Muslim read?
Every Muslim, the majority have read them in English or Arabic. Millions have memorized it. Millions have memorized it in the Arabic. Okay. In the English, many have read it in English. We read every month in the month of Ramadan, we read the Quran. You know that. 30 days. Now, we can't read it in Arabic, we can read it in English. Yeah?
When you read it and you hear the things about killing the infidels and the non-believers and stuff, what do people think when they go? Here's me. I would read something like that, you got it.
What's an infidel?
What's an infidel?
You think the Quran says infidel?
Non-believers.
Infidel is a word the Catholics use for anybody who wasn't a Catholic.
But okay, then right. Why?
So the Muslims, listen to me. Now, listen to the irony. The Catholics called the Muslims infidels. Okay? There's no word infidel in the Quran.
But you hear different Muslims and stuff talking and stuff, and they'll say you got to kill the infidel.
We do not. I've not heard one Muslim use the word infidel. We don't use the word infidel.
The terrorist guys have.
We don't use the word infidel.
They're Muslims.
Listen to me. I'm telling you straight. Do you use the word infidel for a non-Muslim? No. Why would I? Infidel. It's a Catholic word. It's what?
Then
the Catholics.
Why do they do that?
We don't. Just like we don't care about St. George's Day and we don't care about Christmas. If you want to have balloons on Christmas, you want to have street lights, we don't care. But what you're told, that we're up in arms about it, that it offends us. We don't give a damn. You want to wear St. George's flags on St. George's Day? We don't care.
But you seem to think we do.
But the same people who tell you that Muslims are offended by Christmas and St. George's Day are the same people telling you that we call you infidels. They're liars.
I have heard it.
You've never heard a Muslim call you an infidel, so don't talk nonsense, please.
No, not me, but they'll talk about infidels.
Who? Who? Tell me who you heard say infidel.
You can hear it a lot. On the news and different places.
Okay, I've not heard it come out of one Muslim's mouth. I've been a Muslim 12, 13 years. I've travelled. I've never heard this word infidel. I've seen it in American movies. I'll kill the infidel! Lawrence of Arabia, alright? But I've never heard a Muslim say it, ever.
It's only the missionaries that use that
one. Yeah, I've never heard this word infidel, honestly. Alibaba might have said it, I'm not sure. Yeah? Arabian Nights, maybe. But in Islam, the word infidel does not exist.
The exact word infidel, but the translation.
I'll tell you the word that does exist. Kafir. And you know what a kafir is?
Unbeliever.
A kafir is not just an unbeliever. A kafir is the one who conceals the truth. So he doesn't just, he's not a believer, yeah? He actually knows but hides it. Yeah, that's why they're called kafir. Now, Christians are called
Al-Kitab,
people of the book, or Nasara. Yeah? Jews are called Yahud. Yeah? Okay, well, atheists are mushriks, or mushrikun. Yeah? People who worship idols and statues. Okay, so everyone has their term. Okay, so this word infidel doesn't exist. And I'll be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned,
you think of it, and you, when you Quran right there, you think if you did a search on, because that's English, right?
My Quran here.
You think if you did, if that was in the web, like if you did a search on the text that Quran infidel, wouldn't it?
Never.
It wouldn't be.
Never ever. But what you read will. Because they like to put commentary on it. See, a polytheist, a mushrik, yeah, is different from a Yahud. Yeah, a polytheist is a polytheist. Bani Adam is everybody.
I think right now I'm getting too much information. I got to rest a little bit. But I will challenge you on that and see if I can find infidel in different Qurans. Maybe I can go on. I'd like to check because I thought
I'll say how it works. You see, because if the word used is kafir, yeah, if the word used is kafir, then it will be translated as unbeliever.
You know what?
Yeah. If it's mushrik, it'll be translated as polytheist. Why? Because when you translate a word, it translates to what it means. You can't make a word up. So if you, no matter how many times you translate the word kafir, because it comes from the root word kafara, which means to conceal. Yeah? It will never mean infidel. Yeah? Because if I start saying things like infidel, it's very, very hostile. Now, if I call you a kafir, that's just describing what you are. I'm not saying dirty kafir. Call you a kafir. I'll be honest with you. You might be better than most Muslims. Yeah? Because you, some Muslims claim to believe, but they don't act on it. Yeah? You might not know. So if you don't know, how can I call you an unbeliever, realistically? I might call you a not yet believer. But until you've heard the message and rejected the message, you're not an unbeliever. Do you understand?
Anyway.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Vegard and I'm a Norwegian Muslim convert. I'm working with the Dawah organization IslamNet to establish the Deen of Allah here in Norway. We give Dawah and present Islam to the Norwegian people. Isn't that great? To be more efficient in our Dawah, we are establishing a first of its kind Masjid and Dawah Center, where we will have Islamic programs, classes, lectures and education for non-Muslims. I am so grateful to Allah for having guided me to Islam. Sadly, I am the only Muslim in my family. It hurts me that my parents haven't accepted Islam yet, and I ask Allah to guide them. But it also gives me a special drive to work for the establishment of Islam. I don't want anyone to miss the chance of becoming Muslim. Maybe my mom and dad become Muslim one day thanks to you. If we can establish this center, I could bring my parents to come and learn about Islam in our native language, which is a challenge today with the mosque here speaking Somali, Arabic and Urdu. The Prophet ﷺ said that the Muslims are like one body. If you can feel my pain, would you please help me relieve it? You are now my new family. Click the link and donate to establish this masjid and share in the reward for the message of Islam reaching the corners of Norway.